Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I'll say a special thank you to Phyllis and the crew that decorated. If you were a part of the decorating crew this last week, could you raise your hand? Out there, man, come on. This looks beautiful, doesn't it? This is the best time of year. It always does. And man, it just looks awesome. I wish we could leave it up all year round, but I don't know that we would appreciate it if it was up all year round. And for this month, it's just amazing. I love it. We're gonna jump in here, and we are starting a Christmas series called When Christmas Came Near. The whole point of this is that Jesus has come to be with us and to be in it with us. I want to tell you about some science this morning and about a particular drug that the brain naturally produces. This drug is called oxytocin. Oxytocin is released in our brain when we feel love and all of those around us. We get those warm fuzzies. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They call oxytocin the love drug. And your brain releases this when we have powerful connections with one another. And if you want a better description, let's show this picture here. Does that make sense? Everybody get it? Now? Todd, you understand what I'm talking about now, right? No? So this is the breakdown of what the drug oxytocin looks like whenever it releases this chemical in your brain. And usually that the highest dumps of oxytocin happen whenever we're with people, when we serve, or when we sacrifice and lay part of our lives down, or when we have to go into high-risk places. Oxytocin rises and we have these bonds of connection with one another, in our hearts, and our minds, and our bodies, we kind of get in it together. Or when we're going through hardships and we have sufferings that we have to work through, this thing of oxytocin can get released in our brain. In a 2012 study conducted by the Department of Psychiatry at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, oxytocin actually fights withdrawal symptoms in alcoholics and heroin addicts. What's the first thing that happens if you go to an AA meeting? Say, hi, I'm Brock, and I'm an alcoholic. Have you been to one of those meetings, Randy? A couple. Hi, I'm Brock, and I'm an alcoholic, right? Hi, you're accepted. You're allowed to be here in all of your weakness, in all of your not awesomeness. We just love and accept you, right? And when you find your life-giving tribe, what happens is oxytocin gets dumped into your brain and it feels good. It's like a natural drug. This natural drug hits and it gets released. And they're saying that oxytocin, because I'm in it with other people that accept me, that allow me to be me, and that can wrestle through my addiction, that oxytocin is a greater high of satisfaction and accountability that I have with one another. They also say that oxytocin studies have shown that it helps the physical dependencies that we have on those drugs. It breaks the bonds of that off of us as well. Healthy releases of oxytocin through acts of service, sacrifice, selflessness, to be selfless towards others. It reduces the possibilities of having toxicity inside of corporate culture. So many times whenever we're self-serving, we don't have those oxytocin releases. But whenever we come into an environment where we serve and we lay our lives down sacrificially one for another, we can have that hit as well. What's fascinating about this is that it creates and it helps ward off addiction symptoms. It also says that people who have high levels of oxytocin being released in their brain live longer. Anybody up for that? Okay. Some of you are like, no, I've had a long run, man. Good. You can live longer. Also, people that have been married for long periods of time can live longer because of the connection that they have with one another. And it's not dumps of oxytocin that come in relationships where you just kind of sit around and watch paint dry. It's not just sit around playing video games and wow, we're just having all these oxytocin releases. It's whenever you're in it. And that person who sat in the doctor's office with you when you get your cancer report. It's the person who drives you back and forth to your hospital visitations. It's the person who walked alongside you in that divorce. It's the person that whenever you sat in the front row of the funeral of your child, they walked up and they sat next to you. It's that person who wrestles through the hardships with you. We have these mind-blowing, literally mind-blowing experiences with one another. Studies have been done on the culture of the Marines. They say that the Marines are tight and strong because of the insane amount of oxytocin released amongst soldiers. That whenever they're willing to give their lives to something, and they know that the buddy beside them is willing to do the exact same thing, it is just this, it's almost like it's in the air. You could even smell it. Just the camaraderie, that love drug that's going on because we're all in this thing together. Oxytocin comes when you endure hardship. You risk something, overcome something, struggle through something. And here's the deal. The greater the oxytocin, the stronger the bonds of trust will be, and the greater the risk people will be willing to take to do the right thing. And we're looking for someone to build that bond with. You ever sit next to someone, sit next to someone on the airplane, and they hop on the plane and they sit right next to you, and they say, man, traffic was just terrible. And the lines to check my luggage was so long, and the security light went off whenever I took my bags through. Everybody else got through, not me. The first 20 people in front of me, they didn't get frisked, but I got the light scanner going all over my body. And then I get in here, and I haven't been treated very nice. I just ask one question, and they go off on me. The seat's so uncomfortable. There's no storage for luggage. All they want to do is complain. They're looking for someone to bond with in their hardship. It really is. It is. And if we don't be careful, if we're not careful with this oxytocin drug, it really can be like a drug that we become addicted to our victim stories. It's so hard. Life is so hard. I just want to share. Oh, somebody's actually listening. Oh, I connect, and I'm connecting with. And that's why we can spiral into these places where we enjoy complaining. Go to a high school basketball game. I don't even need to explain this illustration, do I? Reese, you ever been to a high school game in volleyball? And the parents of the kids that don't play sit with the parents of the kids that don't play and talk about why we don't like all of this, and let's show up at the school board meetings and let's get somebody fired and let's rally around that. And the kids of the parents that play sit with the kids of the parents that play, and they bond around that stuff. And you see a locker room get divided because I don't play, and so let's talk about why, well, this kid, he dribbled off his toe once, so he should be benched. Right? And we connect around that I got ripped off. Because oxytocin is good up to a point, and then it can spiral us as victims. And if we rally around somebody that can pull us out of the hardship into healthy living, it's an amazing high. It's an amazing drug. That's the beauty of healthy relationships. That's the beauty of boundaries in relationships, that I don't have to suffer with you. I can jump in it and help pull you out of it, right? That's the beauty of being in relationship with one another. Whenever a baby is first born and it's crying out for mama, right? And it latches on. It knows I am with you, and mom, I'm sorry about everything I just did to your body. I'll clean it up later. It'll be fine. You go get a massage, right? No, nobody's cleaning it up. We're in this thing together, right? And we're gonna make it through together. And those children that didn't get those early connections with mom or with dad, and I'll even tell you this, especially with dad, when they're like 5 to 7 years old, their brain is not developing in these places where oxytocin helps the brain develop, to where it knows that it's loved, to where it knows that it's believed in and it's safe. These circles of safety that are provided around a child. You know what's fascinating to me about Eastbrook football? They just put them in the state championship. It seems like for like the better part of the last decade, they've gone like 4 or 5 times. And here's the thing about Coach Adamson is he starts the season and he takes the seniors away on a retreat and they do these camping things and they do these marine boot camp trainings. And it's hard and they're suffering and they're like wanting to ring the bell, get me out of here. And they come out of there feeling like a man, right? Let's head into the season. I mean, these guys are just, they unite in the midst of hardship and suffering and they go and crush it. That's why some of those that have struggled through early stages of marriage can go on to have a 60-year marriage where it's amazing because you hung in there and you endured and it was hard, but we were loyal and we didn't roll out. There was a higher high than looking for greener grass. And the higher high was the oxytocin that was filling us. It's amazing. It really is this fascinating bond where we begin to trust. And what happens at the end of life, on the end of marriages, is whenever one begins to suffer. I love seeing this like in Joanne Hawkins. I love watching as maybe her husband might be failing physically. Loyalty keeps me staying because I vowed for better or for worse. In sickness or in health, until death, right? That vow and that bond keeps me. Here, my word is my bond. And the power of the connectedness keeps us in it together. Maybe it's whenever you see somebody. Anybody ever just give a random donation to whatever small town in Oklahoma? You don't have any connection to that small town in Kansas until it gets flipped upside down by a tornado and the Red Cross comes on asking for donations and you're like, oh my gosh, here's $20, here's $30, here's $50. Why? Because I'm in it. We're Americans. We wanna jump in it together. I don't know you until you're suffering and then I'll jump in with you. Anybody walk the streets of this town and you see a kid with a brand new coat and you walk up to him and say, hey, can I buy you a brand new coat? But then I'll get up here and I'll say, we have 100 kids in our community that need coats. Who can give $50? And the checks start getting written and we're making it rain in here. Why? Because this is my town and I'm in it together and those are the kids of our community and we're all gonna be in this thing together. We're Hoosiers, right? We're Boilermakers. I'm gonna cheer for IU basketball whether they're good or not this year. You're gonna cheer for Purdue football whether they're good or not this year. And they're not, but you're gonna cheer for them. Why? Because I went to the game. I got the face paint. I got the jersey. I went to that school. I tailgated there. There's a connection. I've got experiences of relationship that are so deep. I'm addicted, right? We're talking about addict behavior. I'm in it, man. I'm in it. I'm addicted. I will leave work early to go to the golf course to meet the buddies, risk getting caught by my boss. I don't care. It is addictive behavior because of the power of relationship. It's unbelievable. It really, truly is unbelievable. In his book, Leaders Eat Last, Simon Sinek said this. He said, less hardship means less of a need to cooperate, which means less oxytocin. The power of hardship and the rallying around is what creates this unbelievable high. Here's what happens is, you ever talk about the hardest day at work? Or maybe, no, let me say it this way. You ever talk about the best day at work? And many times it's a hard one. Like, oh my gosh, we were in this project together and we only had like a couple days to do it. And we finally, you know, we had to stay all night long in order to meet the deadline and it was crazy. And we ordered pizza at 1 a.m. and oh my gosh, we pulled through and we did it. Or like for me, my experience was at Taylor University. I had to write my final paper the night before. I don't know. But it happened. Anybody? Just me. Okay. All right. Me and Dale. Gee whiz. Me and Dale. All right, so we're writing our paper the last night, and it's the final project, and it's like this 10-page research paper. It wasn't like something easy. It was like, document all your sources. And so me and a couple other buddies on our wing, it was 210 Second West, where you at? Yeah, 210 Second West. And so we hunker down in our room, lock the doors, and we're like, we're just going to figure this thing out. I mean, the we're maxing out everything Windows 98 has to offer at this point. And so we're going for it. And we stay up all night long to get this project done. We get it done at 6 in the morning for our 8 a.m. class. Well, it's 6 in the morning. We still have 2 hours. So we go get breakfast and laugh like kings the whole time. Yeah, we did it, right? The rallying around something that's hard together builds this bond. The problem is what happens when we go through hardship and nobody comes to rally? What happens whenever I'm born into a really hard family situation and no one is there to father, to mother, to nurture? That's when it gets really scary, because isolation no longer gets these natural highs and we start looking for them in other places. We were created to get these dumps from Jesus and from relationship. And whenever Jesus isn't in the picture and relationships aren't around, it gets to be really tough. And can I even say this? Even if Jesus is in the picture and relationships aren't around, it can be really, really tough. So why do we need Christmas? Is it important that God came to be with us? If we could replay history just a little bit and see how the relationship with God was going, it originally was God walked with Adam. We're hanging out in the garden, man. This is beautiful. And then sin hijacked the whole thing. And there was a disconnect from God. And God said, now you've got to make sacrifices in order to have your sins forgiven, to have relationship with me. And so we would make sacrifices of bulls and rams, and he laid out this whole process to do. And for 4,000 years, that's what we did. And for 4,000 years, there were prophecies that God was going to come. There was this hope that God was going to be with us, and Isaiah prophesied about it, and Jeremiah, and we see this all throughout Scripture, that there's going to be this God-man that's coming. For 4,000 years, it's prophesied. And yet, it never comes. Anybody remember the story, the Narnia? The lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. And they talk about how the seasons just kind of continued to go on and on and on. And one of them made the comment, they said, do you ever feel like it's always winter and never Christmas? And sometimes that's real life. It's winter, and it's hard, and it's cold, and it's blistering, and my heart is hardened, and I'm aching, and my heart is growing cold, and Christmas never shows up with the warmth of gifts and celebration. Between Matthew and Malachi, it seems like Jesus got lost between Matthew and Malachi. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. For 400 years, there's a 400-year gap of no biblical history. You all think that God took a long time answering your prayer and it took a year? It took 10 years? How about 400 years where God's not talking? And the hardship that's going on in their life, the hardships that are taking place around them, and then Jesus. And Jesus comes into the world and Christmas happens and God comes in to break those bonds and those things that have tied us down, that have kept us disconnected from our Father. And God was no longer just happy with sacrifices from these animals. He was going to make himself and his Son the sacrificial lamb to reconnect us back to the Father. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel. This word Emmanuel means God is with us, right? And this is the prophecy from Isaiah thousands of years ahead of time. And then in John chapter 1, we see this. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The hardship that was going on during this time was the leader of the day was Caesar Augustus. And Caesar Augustus put out that there ought to be a census taken. Let's get the population. How many people do we have? And so when he calls out this decree, you had to get back to your homeland by a certain amount of time while they were going to count the population. So now families might be split and I've got to return to my homeland, but now I'm married and who's got the kids and we've all got to go to this town now and now we've relocated and we're all in different homes and now we've got all different kinds of family traditions and Christmas things going on. Christmas hadn't happened yet, but they were doing whatever. And they've got to hop on their donkey and make long road trips. We make long road trips to Kansas City or to Colorado with three kids. Do you know how easier it is in a car with air conditioning, with heat, with iPads. Think about hopping on a donkey with three children, crossing the land and the boundaries, right, in order to make a home. Just hard things are happening at this point. We see as what's going on here in the prophecies that they've been holding on to, and this little girl named Mary gets this prophecy from an angel. And says, you're the one. And she has not a whole lot of recent track record to bank on. For 400 years, the heavens have been silent, and she's focused more on these past promises than the current problems. And she's focused on something greater. If I could encourage you, in the midst of hardship, there's got to be something higher that we lock into instead of just all of the pain or trying to make connections around all of the pain or trying to connect with all of our victimness. She had to set her eyes higher. And Mary connects with Joseph and connects with Joseph's family, and they rally around, and Mary, let's not be confused, the nativity scene, she wasn't isolated out in the back of a barn somewhere. She's in behind someone's home where they're keeping all of their livestock. She's surrounded by family. They all were going home for census, so she's surrounded by family. The oxytocin is flowing, and Jesus comes in on the scene. Jesus comes in on the scene to bring life to those that are spiraling, to those that are sucking wind. Right now, in the same way that Jesus came, can you show up to work tomorrow and figure out, I can hack the game in this person. And the way to hack the game is to build some bonds of connection and trust and having some joy, laughing in the midst of all the hardship. And can we laugh our way through it and have some joy connecting? If you have any area of influence, this is a way that you hack the brain and you try to come in and win through love, through connection, through stimulating those pieces of the brain where they say, yes, there's more. And he begins to pull them up. He begins to have a lift in all of society that takes place. And here's the thing that we see in Galatians chapter 4. It says, when the time had fully come, Christ appeared. This is what's so fascinating about Scripture is that we might be waiting a long time. How many of y'all think that God's timing is just always a little bit late? Man, I could have used that a little bit sooner. Could have used that breakthrough a little bit faster. Could have used that check a little bit quicker, right? I could have had all of these things come to me whenever I wanted them. And Galatians 4:4 says that in due time, or when the time had fully come, God had set a date. He had set a time when Jesus would arrive. And I just want to tell you, he has not forgotten you. You haven't been lost between Malachi and Matthew. He hasn't forgotten about your situation. There is a time, and there's a due time whenever Christ comes in and Christmas comes near and he jumps in it with us. In the midst of the suffering and the hardship, he dives in. He's the one that created our brain, and he knows exactly what it needs. Jesus comes in, and in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, I don't believe that God has ever overlooked us, but instead he overshadowed us. He knew exactly what we needed. Jesus shows up and he knows the drug in our brain. Jesus is the neighborhood hope dealer, right? And it comes in the form of not a pill, but in a person. Not in a needle, but in a neighbor. It's the most powerful drug that can be possibly put into our system. And it's the connection of people. And God wasn't stoic and disconnected. He jumped in to connect with us. And people, I want to tell you this, that if he is dealing this drug, how it happens is through true intimacy and relationship with him. And by jumping into a family of those that can truly love you and support you. To be a Rambo Christian is not to understand the Bible. You've got to be connected and not off running by yourself in it. And not only attendance, but serving and sacrificing and giving back. That's when this stuff gets really good. Gets really good. Growing up in Fairmount, I didn't think I'd ever want to move back to Fairmount. You know why? Because Fairmount didn't serve me enough. Then I moved back to Fairmount and said, I'm going to lay my life down for this place and I want to see it lift. Now I love Fairmount. Why? Because I'm serving. I'm sacrificing. Whenever we first came to this church, like Dan said, hey, Brock, do you want to pastor Fairmount Friends? And I said, no. I have no connection. I have no desire until we came and we started having meetings and connecting and speaking and going to oh my gosh, I love this place. What happened, man? I started getting addicted to you guys. What happened? I'm a weirdo. And this addiction took place and love started connecting and all the synapses were firing. I'm like, oh my gosh, I love this. I don't want to go anywhere else. I don't want to worship anywhere else. I don't want to serve. I want to give my life to something, right? And when we lay our lives down, not just only looking to take, because if you're just looking to take, you're not going to have it. You're not going to get the most out of it. But when I sacrifice and lay down, oh my gosh. And Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to lay my life down as a ransom for many. I'm going to serve and lay it down for the power to break every bond, to set people free, to cause their hearts to come alive again. In the same way that Jesus has done it, you need to do it too. We can complain about everything else going on, or you can jump in and serve. You know what? This place isn't awesome if you're just sitting back grading in everybody's paper. But you don't have time to grade when you're the one doing all the work. And you jump in and you serve. It's like, this is awesome. Hallmark's going to happen tonight, and I hope you're there, that you say, this is my town. I worship here, I serve here, I lay my life down here, and I'm going to celebrate here. Tonight, this is how this stuff works. It just does. So let me wrap with this. In Luke chapter 4, in verse 16, it's on page 727 if you want to flip in our Bibles. But in Luke chapter 4, this is where Jesus shows up on the scene to say why he's here. He just did this 40-day fast. The enemy tempted him the whole time. And Jesus now shows up at the synagogue in the temple. And he begins to say, this is why I'm here. Let me tell you why God became man and showed up to dwell among you. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, it says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as it was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Isn't that fascinating that we just read from the prophet Isaiah? And Jesus says, hey, don't give me all the books of the law. Don't give me all the sacrifices. Don't give me all of those old law things. Give me the prophetic decree of who's supposed to show up. And Jesus begins to read prophecy about himself. How many of y'all would love to just like stand up in front of people and read a newspaper article about you? Hey, and it was written 2,000 years ago, and they begin to call you by name. This guy, he shows up. He's the Prince of Peace. He's Emmanuel. He's the Son of God. And Jesus begins to read. This. He stood up to read, and the scroll from the prophet was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, today, scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. I am walking out the prophetic decree thousands of years ago. Scripture is fulfilled right here. I'm doing it. I'm accomplishment. I'm God. I'm man. I'm with you. I'm in it. Let's go. Was what Jesus said. And Jesus is coming here to you this morning saying, Merry Christmas. I'm here. I've come. I want to walk through this with you. And for some, the holidays are so hard. This isn't overly enjoyable. Can Jesus enter that scene? Can somebody in your spiritual family enter that scene? And let's not assume that everybody's a mind reader. They might not know that you're going through it. Can you open up your heart a little bit and begin to share? And that we can join in together. And I believe that God, He knows how He built you, fearfully and wonderfully made. That when relationships come around, you begin to heal. The word saved, many times in the Bible, the word saved means healing. And that Jesus will begin to save our lives by healing our lives and restoring what's been lost, what the enemy has stolen. In just a moment, we're going to wrap up. And I want you to bring two or three things to the Lord, saying, God, I've got this gap in my heart here, here, and here. Would you begin to fill it? And would you fill it with your presence? And would you fill it with people? In Jesus' name. Church, would you all stand with me as we close? Jesus, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit of God that you would come into this church right now, God, that you would raise up a warrior spirit, God, those that are willing to engage in hardship, those that would jump in it with people. Lord, I pray for influencers that are here that would understand how to lead people well by jumping in it with them, pulling them out. Lord, I pray that you would break the addiction to being a victim by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Break it off of our lives, that we wouldn't rally around it, we wouldn't invite people into it, that we wouldn't camp there and dwell out there, that we would bust through. Jesus, I pray for a family to rally around. Jesus, I pray for your presence to engage the human heart and set free your people. Jesus, you said that you came with an anointing from heaven to set free the captives, to proclaim the year of the Lord, to decree that it's a new day, to spread good news to the poor and to the broken. Jesus, I pray that there would be good news that would hit all of our hearts this morning, that you're good, that you set us free, that you put us in families. Jesus, I pray for healing, that you would save our church by healing our church. You would save our town by healing our town. Lord, I pray by the power, the Holy Spirit of God, that Christmas would come near, that Jesus would come on the scene in the midst of the suffering and heal and bring life. Come on, just offer up one or two things before him. Jesus, I need you to meet me. I need this gap filled. My heart is aching right here. Jesus, I pray for somebody to come and sit with me in the same way that Emmanuel came to be with. Lord, I pray that there'd be little Jesuses, little Christians that would come in and sit with as we go through suffering. Jesus, come on. Come on, what are those areas where you just want healed? Let's just not play church and just hope that the service gets over. Let's hang here for a moment. Let's hang here for a moment in the presence of the Lord. Maybe in a lot of ways you have been healed. And say, Jesus, where can I go and sit with someone? Where can I jump in it with someone, Lord? Come on, Jesus. Ah, you're good. Merry Christmas, Jesus. We honor you. We thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.